The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin in the house. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning, sir.
I'm already mad.
What are you mad
about? I'm already mad about bets.
Really? Which bets?
Heading into the Travelers Championship this week, the first note I wrote down before I did any of my research, stat modeling, or anything, it was Northeast Keegan. Northeast Keegan.
It's so funny.
Would you like a first-round update?
Let me guess. I glanced at this earlier this morning. He's leading.
6 under through 9.
That I don't know what it is about golf specifically, maybe because it's just that's the way it's, you know, it's set up. Because you always think about multiple people, but there is nothing worse than golf bet self-loathing.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what it is.
I'm sorry to hear
that. Now I have to do the oppo because I didn't bet it right. It's the root against him. Someone chase him down.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to pull off. I don't even want to say it out loud, but I'm trying to pull off a big day in tennis here.
A show while you have five tennis bets.
Yes,
going
this
on.
Show is getting in the way. No, I'm saying it's so far so good, but we'll see how it wraps up. And I don't want to mention them yet. But again, all of this, Kelly's golf plays, my tennis plays, VSiN.com/picks is where you can find all of this stuff. So again, if you're tuning in at this hour, you're like, wait a minute, I don't know about any of this stuff. That's where you find it again for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. And to the extent that we can give picks pre-flop in all of our sports, we do on the show, but inevitably, especially with early starts in golf or when tennis is being played overseas, that can't happen every day. So VSiN.com/picks is where you can get all those, and we'll update the tennis here momentarily. Bill Krakenberger will join us for the full hour today. Crackman says he's got a lot to talk about. I told him, well, write it down so you remember. He said, I'm on it. So I hope he wrote it down. So we'll get the crack mail unscripted later this hour. Later on the show. But this hour, Luke Swain will join us on the morning of the NBA draft. Luke Swain, who goes by Vegas Refund on Twitter, will join us the morning of what he knows, what he thinks he knows, what he hopes he knows kind of thing, which can apply to all of us when it comes to the NBA draft. And Kelly will talk about that coming up as well because, you know, again, if Brandon Miller goes number two, it's a big day for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
You give a little back if Cam Whitmore does not go in the top five.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
We'll get into that.
Yeah, I mean, 8-1, I've got 3-1 on him. I'm fine losing that bet.
I added a small bet in the NBA draft. We'll get to it next segment. As well, and again, it gets back to something we were talking about yesterday with the public service announcement of drafts, which is look at multiple markets, see where you get the most bang for your buck in what appears to, what not appears to be, but what is different markets of betting, but actually is the same exact bet, and you can get more bang for your buck on one of those than the other. So we'll talk about that. But really, to me, the whole draft is Brandon Miller going number two, but I did add this one. We'll get to it momentarily. The big thing that happened in the NBA yesterday, though, and we're wondering if there's going to be any trades. The draft tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're wondering if there's going to be any trades on draft night during the draft itself. Who knows? Will the Pelicans be involved? Will the Blazers be involved at number three? All of that is just anybody's guess at this point. But we did have a trade yesterday in the NBA, Kelly. We looked like we were going to have one trade involving Kristaps Porzingis going from the Wizards to the Celtics that involved the Clippers, that involved Malcolm Brogdon ending up in L.A. That didn't end up happening. That got scuttled when it really became clear to the Clippers that Malcolm Brogdon has some serious injuries that they were not comfortable acquiring, let's say.
But if you'd like a full breakdown of that trade, check out yesterday's Hardwood Handicappers.
Hardwood Handicappers. We're all podcasts.
Because we thought that trade was happening and then it went
away. That's right. If you would like a retroactive review of a trade that didn't happen, Hardwood Handicappers may be the podcast for you.
glad we spent 15 minutes on that.
That's with Jonathan Von Tobel, of course, and Kelly, wherever podcasts are available. VSiN.com/podcast, the easiest way to get there in all of our podcasts. So that doesn't happen, but they still made the Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics part of this happen, did the Wizards and the Celtics, but they involved the Grizzlies this time as the third team. So in the end, Kristaps Porzingis, the number 25 overall pick tonight, and next year's first round pick from Memphis, the two picks are coming from Memphis, go to the Celtics. Porzingis goes to the Celtics from the Wiz. The Grizzles, instead of getting Brogdon, get Marcus Smart, the hot of the Celtics. I can't say that anymore now. Now he's just Marcus Smart, who plays for the Grizzlies. Can't use the Boston accent anymore. That's no fun. So the Grizzlies get Marcus Smart. Once upon a time, a couple years ago, the defensive player of the year in the NBA. Some people thought that was a controversial pick for defensive player of the year, but yet he got it. And the Wizards, in their attempt to just clear all the books, end up with a second rounder tonight, the number 35 overall pick, Tyus Jones. And oh, by the way, if you're scoring at home, Danilo Gallinari and Mike Muscala. So there you go with that.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But good for the Wizards to do what they're doing.
This is, yes. And guess what? Kuzma's coming next. Like, he's a free agent. He's going to be gone.
Yep.
Actually, I guess I'm not as positive about that. Kuzma feels like the guy who might be like, wait, on a rebuilding team, I could put up like 40 shots a game.
He could be that dude.
He's I might want to stick around.
He's like, Bradley Beal was here for 10 years doing that. Why should I do it?
Yeah, right.
In the end, so let's just say this. From the non-betting perspective, where everybody on mainstream media is talking about, oh, look at this deal that's been made. Literally, there's one all-star appearance between anybody here. Kristaps Porzingis made the all-star team in 2018 when he was a member of the Knicks. So let's not go crazy about this being like some blockbuster in terms of the individual players being moved. What is interesting to us, as it always is to us, is the betting perspective on this. And a lot, you know, look, 100% of this is speculation. No one knows how the subtraction of Marcus Smart from the Celtics and the addition of Kristaps Porzingis and whoever they end up picking tonight will help the Celtics this coming year. But if you had to speculate, Kelly, which people are doing, the addition of Kristaps, the subtraction of Marcus Smart, whoever they get at 25 tonight, do you think that's a net positive for the Celtics, or is there just no way to possibly know?
Oh, I think this is a great trade for the Celtics.
You think it's a big
trade? I think it's an awesome trade for them. I think the previous version with the Clippers would have been a better trade, but I think this is still great. I think adding Porzingis, I know we've made a lot of him, you know, early in his career and kind of flamed out. He had his best season last year. At his best season, he played 65 games.
He was great.
Did the whole Dallas thing, then came to Washington. But the Wizards, under the radar the whole season last year, I mean, if you're just going the scoring stats, I mean, 23 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks per game. What this guy can add, I mean, what the Celtics bring to the table already is such a multidimensional offense, and you're just adding another guy to it that can score in different ways. Plus, Gil, we don't make enough about Porzingis' rim protection and what he does on the defensive end.
No question.
And that was, like, as good as Robert Williams is, there are times and matchups where the Boston Celtics struggled down low last year. So I think it's a great move for Boston. They already had a crowded backcourt to begin with. Yes, I think Brogdon instead of Smart would have been the way to go. And oh boy, does that got to feel awkward today for Malcolm Brogdon.
Well, yes.
The Celtics.
I think you're right, but I'm not as positive as you are, right? Like, I think you're right. It does open up the backcourt. Derek White gets more minutes now.
And I'm a big Derek White fan.
Yeah. I'm a big Porzingis fan. So I'm with you. Like, he brings so much to the table for them. On the other hand, again, basketball is this strange little alchemy that is not easily defined, right? It's not one tennis player playing another where you can winnow it down to data and heart so easily. It's moving parts at all times. And I don't know, can you measure the subtraction of Marcus Smart from that team precisely? I don't think you can. So I don't know that anybody can make that precise of a prediction on how this goes for the Celtics, a team that got to the NBA Finals 2 years ago and lost to the Warriors, and a team that famously was down 3-0 to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, got it all the way to Game 7, and then got absolutely trounced. And the bigger question for me on the Celtics is, well, A, does this make you want to bet on them more, which to me is no.
No, I'm actually surprised the odds moved as much as they did.
Yeah, that was my point with the with the other trade the other day with the Suns. Like, I'm not impressed by either from a betting standpoint.
That's like when I saw this trade late last night. I was about going to sleep when I saw it. I didn't even check the odds, Gil, because I didn't think they'd really move. So the fact that they actually are co-favorites over DraftKings with the Nuggets right now to win it all,
I don't buy that.
I'm actually surprised they moved.
I don't buy that at all.
I mean, what were they, 550 before? I think
something
when we
like
looked
that.
At that. So
something
I
like
mean,
that.
75 cents, whatever.
And does it concern you at all, part and parcel with that, the cousin of that is, does it concern you at all that the Celtics were so willing, I mean, were they so traumatized by what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals that they were so willing, after the briefest amount of time, to get rid of Brogdon, which is like, wait, what did he do wrong? Okay, that was the first thing. Maybe they knew of the injury. They were trying to slide it through. That could have been it. And then in the end, end up getting rid of Smart, and who Marcus Smart must be. You talk about Brogdon being awkward. Marcus Smart must be like, wait, what just happened? What just happened here? I'm going to, and from a Grizzlies standpoint, do you think that that's in any way, do you think that helps them tremendously? Oh. Or is Marcus Smart, does Marcus Smart change the way they play basketball when he's on the court?
Depends, though. I think it, I mean, the Memphis side of this is the most interesting side of it to me. Because they gave up a fair amount, too, to get Marcus Smart in here.
The two first-round picks is
draft,
a ton.
Draft picks, yes. Tyus Jones, who everybody was slotting in. And, you know, Tyus Jones is not a bad player. Everybody was like, hey, he can fill in while John Morant's out. I think it is a clear, obvious decision to me by the Memphis Grizzlies of, hey, we need someone in here that has the maturity and attitude of a winner that can establish a culture here that can help change things around of what they've been in Memphis. To me, that's what it is. So can he be that impactful? I don't know, but to me, that's what it is.
I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm not so sure. The way we were talking about Draymond the other day, like if Draymond left the Warriors to another team, it's a lose-lose-lose. Mm-hmm. Draymond, the Warriors, and the team he goes to. I'm not so sure. By the way, the Wizards, it's a win. But I'm not so sure it's a lose-lose. I'm not so sure it's not a lose-lose for the Celtics and Grizzlies when you put it in the wash. And I don't know that we can define this until we actually see it play out on the court. I think everything else is just complete speculation. It could be a lose-lose. Celtics hoping for the best. Panic move? I don't know. Good thing. We'll come back. NBA draft, what I added next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander still sweating out these tennis bets. We just squandered 3 match points in one of them, Kelly, so that's fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's brutal.
Hopefully we come back. Made bets this morning. I bet LSU to win the College World Series at plus 230. Bet LSU to win the College World Series at plus 230. Where that stands right now is as follows. LSU and Wake Forest play a rubber match today. The loser is Dunzo. LSU was the number one team in the country for the first part of the year in college baseball. Then Wake Forest took over as the number one team in the country. They are now playing the rubber match today. LSU in this ball game, and I want to get the number exactly right, but LSU is a minus one. Now they're minus 200. They're all the way up to a $2 favorite. They were like minus 160 15 minutes ago.
It was minus 160 when I looked at it an hour ago, hour 15 ago, something like that.
Well, they got Paul Skeens going today.
Their
ace, who is the, again, I said this yesterday on the show, he's the biggest pitching prospect in college baseball since Steven Strasburg.
So, when you said that, I was sitting back here Googling stuff because I couldn't remember if Strasburg or David Price was first because they were both massive, right?
Oh, Strasburg.
But
was
Strasburg was before. I mean, was after Price.
I remember I don't remember with Price's debut, but I remember Strasburg's debut. I guess I think was against the Pirates. I think he had 14 strikeouts. I might have that wrong. Maybe it wasn't his first game. Maybe I got it up mixed up. But like his opener was so hyped. If LSU can get Skeens to can back Skeens today and win this against Wake, they will play a best of three against the University of Florida, and I would love to have them at plus 230 going into that, and I think they're the best team in baseball. I really do. By the way, Wake, who has been the short shot this whole time, if you've watched this College World Series, they've kind of had a rabbit's foot up their proverbial behind. Mm. So they can't score.
Yeah.
And so with Skeens on the Hill today, I really like LSU. I'm not betting the game. I'm betting the LSU Tigers. Matt Brown's LSU Tigers.
That's right.
Didn't he used to pitch for him?
That's right. He used to pitch for
him.
He
doesn't talk about it that often, right?
I don't know. I think he hates talking about it. And I never understand why.
Well, you know.
But he, you know, he's a humble guy. That's what he is. He's a
the only story
guy.
He tells is that Ricky Weeks once just destroyed him.
I think that was in high school.
Was it? Ricky
Weeks? But obviously Ricky Weeks was a massive prospect. Yeah. And Matt was at least on the radar. So I think it was a looked forward to matchup.
he just got shelled. Destroyed him.
I followed you with LSU too, but mainly just so I could hopefully root against the Gators whenever that happens.
Yeah. As an FSU guy.
As an FSU
guy. So LSU +230 is the World Series bet that I've made here. And in basketball, the NBA draft tonight again. We have no sleeps between now and then. It's happening. This is, what, 10 hours, a little less than 10 hours away. And we pretty much know it's Victor Wembanyama at number one. Not pretty much, we know. At number two, we're hoping here, because we all have Brandon Miller bets to go number two. I've got five of them at +169, +160, +150, +142, +134. I told that story yesterday on the air. Cascading plays. Kelly has 8-1 on Brandon Miller from way back when. The one I added this morning, and it's, you know, just a fraction of the Brandon Miller one, because I don't want to eat into the Brandon Miller profits if that happens. But it appears, at least Jonathan Givony was one of the guys, it appears like right now, and by appears, I'll give the actual the odds in the betting markets, but he was saying the Thompson twins, hold me now, are going to go 4-5. Amen, Osar, 4-5. Now, Kelly's dying back there because he's got the Whitmore bets.
If Brandon Miller gets home, I don't care.
None of us care. That's exactly right.
But,
however, I just want to point out that right now, in the markets, to go number two, Brandon Miller's -427. To go number three, Scoot is -443. Does that mean that they're absolutely going 2-3? It does not. We have seen all we have to do is go back to the NFL draft when, you know, we had someone at number two. My God, Will Anderson's -2500 to go number two or something, whatever it was, right? And the other person ended up doing it, right?
And CJ reminder, Stroud. These were -500 yesterday.
That's right.
So we have come back a little bit.
But here's the deal. At number four, it is Amen Thompson at -386. And at number five, it is Asar Thompson at -164. So did I bet that? No. What I did bet this morning was, because again, we talk about the public service announcement of look for other markets. Asar Thompson under 5.5 just before the show this morning, Kelly, I got at +139. So I grabbed that, just one bet, +139. Like you said, if Brandon Miller goes two, I could care less. But I got a little greedy with this, but +139. Now he is -106 to go under 5.5. It's still a much more favorable bet than him going exactly number five. So I don't know. It's amazing that this is not shopping from book to book.
Right.
This is within the same sports books.
Yeah.
Like, to go exactly five, it's -164, but under 5.5 is -106. So please be careful with that kind of stuff. So even though you can't get the +139 anymore, if you believe in the Givony report, that's still, to me, a bet that you should consider. And it's certainly the best of the two that we mentioned. I will say this because, again, Luke Swain is coming up, Vegas refund here in 5 minutes. But what do you think? And I said this about him. What does he know? What does he think he knows? What does he hope he knows? Same question for you. At this point, beyond Victor Wembanyama, and then we'll throw in Miller and Scoot as we think it's happening, but we're not sure. What do you think you know after that?
Okay, I think. I'm going even back.
Okay,
I know Wembanyama.
That is it. Ladies and gentlemen,
I really hope this isn't the kiss of death, but I'm going off of some Rafael Barlow reporting today from over at NBA Big Board. He's awesome. Was on the network, I know, earlier in the week. We had him on Hardman Handicappers. Does a lot of NBA draft stuff. Reading his report this morning, apparently the buzz all around the agents, the hotel, and everything is that Miller is two to the Hornets, and that's what everybody's talking about, at least. Okay, this is on Amen Thompson, and speculation of him going number three to Portland.
Oh my goodness.
There is an update on that. According to a source, Portland doesn't know what they want to do. They really like Amen Thompson. And I get it. He has a higher ceiling than Scoot Henderson. He's the best athlete in the draft, bigger, better size, length, better defender, better passer. So who knows if we get that chaos? I doubt it, though. I think Scoot's still going three.
And then what about the notion of a trade? Like, I mean, are we convinced a trade is not happening?
I think the Blazers and Damian Lillard are in a staring contest at this point. The Blazers are, they don't want to be the guys who trade away Damian Lillard until Damian Lillard demands that he gets traded away. So I think they're going about the business.
And Lillard is doing the same thing back. Like,
exactly.
I don't want to not be beloved in Portland forever and ever. You must trade me. I will not open my mouth.
Well, I think Dame is, whether you like it, agree with it or not, Dame's standing by what he said for the past, 6 years now of give me pieces, I will win. And at this point, I think he's given them too much time. But when he sees Scoot Henderson's name called, I think there are plenty of teams just waiting around with trade proposals to send into the Portland Trail Blazers. They will all say, draft Scoot Henderson, and we're going to send you a trade proposal for him immediately.
He's also one of those guys, though, that appears to have come to the position in life where he's like, all this counting of chips, as he would say, right? But all the championship culture where people are like, unless you win a championship, you aren't anything. That kind of vibe that people get, like he says it right, where Charles Barkley gets endless amount of guff, not only from his co-hosts on Inside the NBA, but just in general when you go, oh, I never won a championship, right? Dan Marino, you never won a championship. Yeah, it's such a lazy, brain dead way to assess things. I get it; it's a bottom line thing, but it's so straightforward and dumb ultimately. And Lillard appears to be also outwardly comfortable with the position that he may never win a championship. So there are those, it's like the Bradley Beal thing, like until it happens, you don't know that it ever will.
Yeah. I do think they're a little different. Like, I don't know if I believe that about Dame.
I don't know if I do either.
I just think he's always believed he could win in Portland and it just never happened. Bradley Beal, I just really don't think ever cares.
Bradley Beal's like, I'll just chill here.
Just give me my money. I'm going to put up 30 a game. That's all I want to do.
What's that, $40 million and $50 million? Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, that's good. Whatever.
That's good.
I'll play on the moon if you want me to.
All right, well, so those are the bets. We have our Brandon Miller bets. I added a little bit of under 5.5 on Asar Thompson at plus money. Still at it's at minus money, but it's a really small minus money now, so I still think that's playable if you believe that.
I think it's a good bet.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance both Thompson twins are 4-5.
Thompson twins. But we'll see. I'll tell you who has very definitive thoughts on all this, or at least we hope he does, beyond ours. Luke Swain, Vegas refund, what he has bet, what you could still bet according to him, next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL Guide early, coming out June 29th. It's just a week away now. Our NFL Betting Guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Many of us have been super successful betting drafts, both NFL and NBA, in years past. Nobody probably as successful as this gentleman. You can find him on Twitter at Vegas Refund. His name is Luke Swain. He joins us once again on the show. Luke, great to see you, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, man. So I've asked this a couple times this morning already. I'll ask it of you, which is, what do we know heading into the NBA draft? What do we think we know? What do we hope we know? So let's start with what we know. Victor, and that's it?
Yeah, and up until about, I want to say like 20 minutes ago, I thought we were getting a growing certainty on Miller going too, and of course...
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me right now.
I know. We're stuck in a loop. We really are. And Sam Vecenie just put out a mock, who's probably one of the more respectable mock drafters we have from The Athletic, and he all of a sudden flipped Scoot to number two and put a lot of context behind it. And
oh,
it's,
God.
I know.
Come on, Vecenie.
I know. We're like anyone but like him, honestly. Him or like Gavoni probably are like the two that could really set a ripple effect. And the context behind it, and it is worth saying that he's very much like pro Scoot in terms of like his big board. And he was going into like the press conference yesterday from Charlotte, saying that they're going to take best available. And he was really like, it seems like he's reading in between the lines. But at the same time, the fact that he just flipped it again is worth noting. I would say it's like 65 Miller right now, but there is a runway for it to drastically fall.
Miller at minus 375 to go number two as we're tracking it this morning. Boy, that just put me in a mood. Thanks, Luke.
Same.
Yeah, you too, right? You're heavily invested in Miller to go number two?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, all three of us. Awesome way to start. Okay. Again, who knows? That's what we were very careful to say the whole time. We don't know. We think, but we don't know. Okay. So let's go with the assumption still that it's Miller, which is an assumption. You know what they say about assuming, and that it is Scoot at three. Beyond that, and that's a big if, so I'm not going to even say that that's a done deal, but let's just say that that is. What are you most certain of beyond that? What do you think you know beyond that?
So I think that like the only true certainty we have is there's a consensus like 8 or 9 guys right now in the top 10, which I'm not going to list them off, but we have a 8 or 9 guys in the order that they go in is up for debate, but I still think those 8 or 9 guys are going to go in the top 10. And then there's 2 wild cards really, which were probably Kobe Bufkin and Bilal Coulibaly, who could jump into the top 10 as well, which both of them I think are like plus 200 still to go in the top 10. But right now, I think Amin at 4 is somewhat of a consensus. I think it's somewhat, I don't think he should be minus 400, but that's probably the closest consensus we have next. And then at 5 really is when the chaos begins.
5 is when the chaos begins. Okay, can we go through the, so you just said Kobe Bufkin and Coulibaly are going to be the wild cards for the top 10. What are the names? Give us the full list of names. Yep. Where you're like, I'm sure these guys are in the top 10.
Yep, so Wemby, Scoot, Miller, Amin, Osser, Walker, Black, Hendricks. I think those are the 8. And then...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I think those are the 8 consensus. I might be missing one guy.
But, okay.
And Whitmore, of course, Whitmore.
And Whitmore. Oh, Whitmore, of course. Well, again, I don't know if it was an of course, but at this point, I guess right. You're saying, Kelly's leaning in.
Well, so no, I was going to ask Luke about it because I know he has a bet on Whitmore, too. And just, Luke, what have you read? Like, what has, I mean, those odds have been back and forth and back and forth with Whitmore to go top 5. You know, we kind of thought he was penciled into that 5 spot, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days ago. What do you think's happened with that, and where are we heading, do you think, when it comes to some of the wings / bigs down at the end of the top 10?
So, I mean, if you asked me the same question a week ago, I would say Osser over 5.5 and Whitmore under 5.5 are probably the 2 like walks that existed. And as of right now, those are probably, it's totally flipped on its face. I haven't seen a player like Whitmore fall from grace like he has within a 48-hour time frame. But Whitmore falling to probably right now it's looking like the 8, 9, or 10 range is creating a window for guys like Osser, Hendricks, Walker for their unders to all of a sudden come into play to a almost certainty. But a 10, it's lively, and there's somewhat of a, people are kind of assuming that the Mavs pick at 10, they're going to be trading, which lively is like the consensus pick to go number 10. And if they do trade out of that pick, I think that's when Bilal or Bufkin can come into play. But 10 is also, I think 10 is either Lively, Bufkin, or Bilal right now.
So Luke, the broader question, we're talking to Luke Swain, by the way, at Vegas Refund, the broader question of where you stand then on, you just mentioned two guys who you really trust with drafts. We talk about it with the NFL draft all the time, that there are guys like Daniel Jeremiah we trust. There are others we're like, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. When it comes to the mainstream reports, and specifically Adrian Wojnarowski, who famously got the Paolo Banchero thing wrong at number 1 last year, do you view a Woj report as, do you view that as a hiccup, a one-time thing last year, or do you view it as symptomatic of a broader thing where mainstream guys are just going to get a different version of the truth?
Great question. So last year, Woj slipping, I do think, if Woj made the report that he did about Miller a couple of days ago on going number 2, if that happened last year, Miller would probably be minus 1,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, which is somewhat funny because if he hadn't messed up last year, everyone's perspective has just totally changed. And he's still the most connected person that we have. And if anything, he's due for a bounce back and he might have a little bit more confidence to get it right this year. And you can kind of tell within the context on that snippet that he was on ESPN that there was like a lot more certainty to it. It wasn't one of his like famous Team X's honing in on player Y.
Yeah, solidified conviction was his words. Yeah,
he had conviction. But yeah, really, it's just Waj and Shams are kind of like the only two I'm paying attention to. And then we have like the four core guys for like mock drafters that are really gonna, that I'm gonna wait honestly today is Vecini, Givney, Wasserman, and O'Connor out of the Ringer. Like those are the four guys that if they're hearing something, it's probably worth paying attention to. But then really Waj and Sham are the only two guys who can probably like move a line off of a tweet.
If someone's listening to this right now and wants to know what bet can I make right at this moment that you feel is the best bet out there, what would you tell them?
So if probably in terms of like value, I think like Marcus Sasser and Andre Jackson to go in the first round, both of them are in the 5-1 range. Those are two fun ones. I think that are two of the few that still exist where value is relative to what's available, where Omax is -1,000 right now and his odds should not be -1,000. And Jackson should probably be +1,000, but you got to take what you can get at this point. And those are probably the two best value to go in the first round. And then I like Keyonte George to go before Hawkins, which is +150, I want to say, which I just think there's value there. And if those odds are flipped, I would probably say Hawkins, but George just has a wider range that I think he has the opportunity to jump Hawkins a lot easier, where Hawkins kind of has like three spots.
Okay, last thing, because we only have a minute left, and I do this not to have people rooting against you, because we bring it up. If Brandon Miller doesn't go number two, our draft sucks. If he goes number two, our draft is great. What is the scenario where it's great for you and it sucks for you? Is it also Brandon Miller, or is it something else?
Brandon Miller. But I do think like the chaos doesn't ensue like it would in the NFL draft, where if Scoot goes two, the dominoes affect the rest of the draft order. Like we're still going to get or have the opportunity to get a consensus top 10, no matter who goes two. But Brandon Miller would be buying an island fund.
Buying an island fund. I like that very much. I lied. Do you think there's a trade at three? Like, do you think Portland does something finally with Damian Lillard?
I don't.
You don't.
I mean, who knows? I mean, you have to give trades in the NBA are a lot more likely relative to the NFL, but you just have to pay attention to trades a lot more because they can be landmines, where the NFL draft, you kind of just don't want to pay attention to them.
Luke, wish you luck. We're aligned on Brandon Miller at number two. Let's hope this gets home. I wish it was happening right now so it would just happen, but we got to wait almost a little more than nine more hours. Good luck to you, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Luke Swain, everybody, at Vegas Refund, right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN. What did he say? Island? What was his phrase? Island fun? Or island? I don't know what he said, but you get the idea. He'll win a lot.
He's
going to win a lot. More than you and I will, we're winning a lot.
I believe he was in on it very early as well. But yeah.
We'll review the tennis bets, which came out very nice at the end. Not as nice as they could have been, though, because we gacked one. NFL talk and a little Victor talk next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up with code VSiN and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Washington, D.C. We were just having a discussion off air, like the difference between betting drafts and then actually betting sporting events. And you know, like if Brandon Miller goes number two, we make tons of money in a snap with like very little sweat. Let's just take a day of tennis that I had this morning. Right? So there were four plays at VSiN.com/picks. We can flash them up on the screen. And it ends up being a winning day. No, so let's just get this out right here. Whenever a match does not finish, we have been consistent the way that we grade them here on this show, because most books, when a match doesn't finish, it's just a refund. There are some that if one set is complete, then it gets graded. So basically with our picks this morning, we either went, now here's the thing. Magdalena Fresh is the plus 141 dog. She won. Ekaterina Alexandrova as the plus 122 dog against Coco Gauff. She won. Fresh beats her stay, by the way. Jewel Niemeyer as the plus 223 dog slipped and fell at 6-5 in the second set and decided she couldn't go on.
Is that grass regulation?
So, by the way, this isn't anywhere near like the ones where we had like $2 dogs that were up 5-2 on the cusp of winning and then the opponent quit. We don't know if we would have won a second set tiebreaker and pushed to a third. We don't know. But it ends up being a refund for most of us. But some people get the loss on that.
Ugh.
Some people did. Here's what turned in a great day into either a 2-1 day or a 2-2 day, depending on how the Niemeyer thing was graded. Emina Bektis, the minus 143, she had three match points. She was up 40-0. All she had to do was get one more point and win. She gacked them all and lost. So in the end, we're either 2-1, which is how we graded, because that's how we've always graded, even when it, and by the way, we're way beyond. If you want the luck factor on these, we've gotten screwed way more than this has gone in our direction, believe us. And we don't know if this one wouldn't have gone in our direction today. So you either were 2-1 or 2-2, depending on what books you bet them on, and that is your tennis day. But what a sweat all of that was during the first couple segments here. As I'm doing the show, Bektis is busy squandering match points.
Oof. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, what'd you say? Three match points, right?
Three match points, 40 left. Mm-hmm, sure.
Gosh.
You don't think that got in her head, do you? By the way, the Niemeyer slip, if you look at that footage, by the way, also, let me just say this. Kelly, if you wouldn't even blink an eye if you slipped like she did. I don't know if she landed on her wrist, maybe. Maybe she did that and she hurt it.
Really?
Yeah, but so I don't want to like diminish it if she did truly get hurt, like if her wrist got bent or something on the fall.
Because you're talking to the same guy whose back hurts from like picking up a box yesterday. Yeah.
Bad example. Anyway, most of us had a 2-1 day, another winning day in tennis, which would put us, if it was 2-1, that would put us at a 16-5 run in tennis.
Nice.
Yeah, back into the last week of the French.
Damn, that's
okay.
Good.
Okay, so Victor Wembanyama. Real quick, going number one, Kelly and I, after the show yesterday, I say to Kelly,
We were just kicking this around.
I say to Kelly, I go, is there a chance that he sucks the first year? So it's just, I just think someone needs to say that out loud once. Listen, he's the best prospect since LeBron. He's going to be great. My only question is, the first year, is he going to get crushed? Because he's, what, 7'5", and I believe he weighs... half of good Kelly weighs. So to win the rookie of the year, he's minus 225. To win the MVP, he's 130-1. Stop it. What's more interesting, perhaps, is the Spurs. 35-plus regular season wins. These are all at DraftKings. 2-1. 40-plus regular season wins. So basically 500, but even a tick below 500 and above, plus 650. To win the West, 100-1. To win the finals, 200-1. Is there a bet there that you would make? Like, the rookie of the year one is fascinating because... remember, Paolo Banchero was 7-1. He was minus 700 a minute into the NBA season.
Yeah.
So if Wembanyama does anything the first couple weeks, he's going to be 10-1 or minus 1,000.
And actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I think the way that I'll play that is I have no interest in betting him rookie of the year. I think there might actually end up being, like, we have to wait for tonight to occur. But I think there might actually end up being some value on Scoot, depending on what team he goes to.
That's interesting.
Just because I think he's a guy that he's going to be more ball dominant. He's a point guard, so he's going to be running the offense. He's a downhill rim attacker, like a think Russell Westbrook when he came out of college. I just think he's going to be ultra aggressive when the accounting stats go up there. I think he's going to be up there, and just to break it down of where Victor's going to struggle coming in, right? He's used to playing quarters are shorter over in Europe. So, like, there is going to be a fatigue endurance factor that, I mean, if we watch the games here in Vegas, like, he wasn't on the court a whole ton. Because it was, he needed some rest over on the bench. I think that's going to be a thing through his first year or two, conditioning, getting up to that point. Who knows, maybe I'm wildly off, but I would think that's going to be true. And he's got, you know, he's got development everywhere that he can still do. It's just, why is he so great? Is because he is truly that 5'2" player who's 7'5". It's just, he can still get a little bit better at everything he does, which is a horrifying thought. So, like, I think you're going to see a lot of games, Gil, where he goes, you know, 4-for-12 from the field, but then you're going to see him close out on Kawhi Leonard when Victor Wembanyama's in the paint and block him, and a look on Kawhi's face of like, how did a human being even just do that? Like, yeah. I think that's what you're going to get a lot of his rookie year. You're going to get some really special moments, but I don't know. Rookie of the year thing, I wouldn't lay -225. I don't think I'm running to do
There's
that.
No doubt, according to everybody, he's going straight to the Hall of Fame, and I'm not even saying he's not doing that. But I'm just saying his first year, when he's this thin and he hasn't filled out yet, could it be, I used the word sucks earlier, I shouldn't, but could it be way more underwhelming than is anticipated right at this moment? There is that possibility. And then, by the way, maybe he's undervalued heading into the rest of his career,
because
then he will destroy everybody.
And as the Spurs roster gets better. Yes. I mean, he is going to a team where there is nobody there.
It's a perfect lab, right? Perfect coaching. He'll get tough love. Pop will be on him when he needs to be on him, and they will get better as time goes on. Yeah. So, I mean, an interesting thought, but I don't know that I would bet him Rookie of the Year quite yet, though there is the scenario because of the Banchero thing where you're like, well, I don't know, maybe -225 is actually the move, because if he does anything early, you'll never see that number again.
I mean, the argument for is basically what I just said again. It's that the Spurs have nobody. So it is going to be
stat fest.
Right. I think and I know his Metropolitan 72 team in France was a little bit like this year, where basically their job was to get Victor Wembanyama ready for the draft. I don't know if Pop is going to be as willing to be like, my sole focus is to get Victor Wembanyama to superstar level as soon as possible, no matter how it affects the rest of the team. I just don't know if that's Greg Popovich.
So you're not betting any of those? That's the bottom line?
Definitely not betting the win stuff, no.
Okay. Should we do this football thing here? Should we squeeze
it? Yeah, sure. Yeah,
all right. So next week, football week on the show and on the network, every show, football, every hour. And not for the whole hour, but at least once an hour, we'll do football. And so Kelly brought up these how would you call these playoff parlays? To make the playoffs parlays that are available at DraftKings. Now, I'm a big math guy, and so I just want to caveat all these by saying you are not getting the proper bang for your buck quite on any of these. But some of them, you get close-ish to the proper bang for your buck.
And some of them are real bad.
Some of them are real bad.
I'm going to be honest. You just got to look at them, yeah.
But some people want to bet these because you can't bet them otherwise. And so if you want to bet them, the three that I came up with anyway, Kelly, Chargers-Vikings +250, that really should be 3-1. Chiefs-Commanders, I got it 3-1 there on DraftKings. It's a little south of 4-1 is what it should be. And then the Lions and Jaguars to both make the playoffs, +650 they offer it. Real odds should be +750. So again, not quite the bang you should be getting, but at least close-ish.
Yeah, I liked that one. I ended up changing my three just when I saw yours.
You did, okay.
I didn't go, full transparency, I didn't go that far down because I was, I was like, I kept doing the odds comparison too, and I'm like, oh, this one's not good, this one's not good, this one's not good. So I actually stayed on the shorter end.
Yeah, that's a strategy.
But I do like your Jags one. Do you notice how there wasn't many options too with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's exactly right.
Because you would want to key them into your parlay, right? If I'm that confident. I did Eagles, Cowboys, chalky, whatever, two of the better teams in the NFC, Jags, Lions, and Ravens, Vikings.
All right. Again, to make the playoffs parlays available at DraftKings, just to whet your appetite for next week. Crackman Unscripted, next Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.